Hi, this is Jim Buzinski out in Los Angeles, where the Olympics are allegedly live, but they're actually on a three-hour tape delay. But to do this podcast, we have to get synchronized. So we have Sid Ziegler from New York, who is definitely live, and swimmer Sean Smith. Welcome, Sean.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we wanted to talk to you about the Olympics and especially Olympic swimming, since you were a swimmer yourself at Rutgers. Just question, did you ever get to the trials or have a desire to be in the trials in your career?
Yeah, in 2000, I went to trials when I was 18, and then I went in the summer of 2004 also.
And how was the, how were those experiences for you?
Both of them were pretty much the worst meet of my life.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we won't dwell on that then.
Yeah, thanks. No, well, I mean, I was injured. In 2004, I was injured, so it was kind of more of a reward for me to even go. I didn't swim the entire summer before, but I felt like I earned the right to get to go to the meet. So I just went ahead and went anyways.
So what is your impression? As we tape this, Michael Phelps has won 5 gold medals, setting records in all of them. 2 of them have been relays. What is your impression about what he has accomplished so far? How special is it as a fellow swimmer?
It's something that will never be done again. Not in my lifetime, I don't think. Back when Spitz did 7, much of the rest of the world wasn't on the same competitive level, but swimming as a sport is so much deeper in competition that it's crazy to think of someone being able to dominate 2 or 3 events for 12 years. And what he's been able to do in so many events and so many different events, it's incredible. I mean, there's really no words to how much like of a gifted athlete he is.
Well, he looks like, when you watch him swim, it really looks on the underwater shots that he's like half dolphin or something. I mean, he seems to have this freaky thing with his feet and legs that, I mean, is he a genetic freak, not in a bad sense, but I mean, is he so genetically gifted in addition to everything he has with his desire and competitiveness? What is about him as a swimmer sort of physically that gives him advantages over some of these other guys?
His body type is pretty much tailored to the sport. He's got a very long torso and very wide shoulders, long, long arms and huge hands and huge feet, but he also has very short legs, which is also better. His feet are really long, but they're also very, very flexible. The plantar flexion on swimmers is usually really good, but the ability for his feet to be able to bend and move more water makes his underwater so much better.
I, for one, am getting a little tired of hearing about Michael Phelps because there are so many other Olympians. Even there are other people swimming. I certainly understand the attraction of the story, but are you just blown away, fascinated? Are you fascinated by him and glad that it's getting all this attention? Or do you want to hear a little bit more about other people who are competing?
I feel like I'm on both sides of the issue at all times. Like, I love what he's doing for the sport because it isn't very often that a swimmer is doing this many commercials or anything. But I also know the backlash in 2012, he's not going to be able to do this many events, and people are just going to be like, oh, well, he's not even that good because he can't get 8 gold medals again. Like, I mean, it's gonna kind of suck, and there are a lot of amazing, amazing athletes that I wish I could see more. And one of my biggest pet peeves of NBC is when they like to focus in on one swimmer during a race, and not even the whole body. It's like the torso up, and that's it, and the rest of the race doesn't even matter, and they kind of do that a lot with Phelps. But yeah, there's a lot of really good swimming going on, and he's helping the sport all in all, but I think the backlash is going to kind of suck.
How impressive is what he's doing? I mean, to swim 17 races in 8 days, how difficult is that?
It's really hard. I think that he has the ability to kind of hold back. And I mean, prelims, he doesn't have to try. It's in the swimming community, it's just called like their morning swims. You just put in an easy morning swim, just make it back top 16, and then he's able to kind of do the same thing to get into finals as well. But I've noticed that he looks like emotionally tired, like after races. He just looks drained sometimes, yeah. And I think that's the rest of what's going on in his day-to-day, that you just can't recover. I mean, most people, the way a swim meet works is you wake up early. You'll do a wake-up swim, which is usually at least 2 to 3 hours before your first competition, like your first event of the day. And then you'll either go back to the hotel, get some food, and then go back to the pool, do your longer warm-up, which is a couple miles, and then you'll have an hour or so before your event. Then right after you're done with your event, you get your ass out of the pool, go to the hotel, and take a nap before finals. But I don't know if you guys caught what was on NBC last night. They showed his day, and it's just press conference, drug testing, like all these other outside things that he has to tend to because he is Michael Phelps. And I don't feel sorry for him. I mean, that comes with it, but it is pretty incredible. But I think what Katie Hoff is doing is a little bit tougher. I mean,
you mean choking in every race she enters?
Yeah. That, and she's a little bit younger, and she has like no positive reinforcement of what she's doing, and she has the 800 free still to come, which is a huge mental race. And that's going to be a train wreck. I hope it's not, but that's going to be a tough one for her.
Now, a question I want to ask you about swimming is something we've debated on our website, and I've debated it kind of tongue-in-cheek from an eye candy standpoint, calling the full-body swimsuits the worst abomination in the history of sports. But I do want to ask you a serious question, because there is a lot of debate within the swimming community about these. One coach for a national team referred to it as technological doping. I guess I have a question that just seems to be fairly simple, is would it not be most fair if everyone wore the identical suit, be it a brief type or the same identical suit, and wouldn't that totally take the technology out of the picture? What is your views as a swimmer?
I think a big part of it is, I mean, obviously that's a very logical answer, and I mean, it would work. Everyone has to do the same thing. They do it in other sports. Like, you can have a bike that weighs this amount of weight, but you can't go under. You have to have a car in NASCAR that has X amount of specifications. With swimming, I think a lot of it is, like, suit manufacturers kind of having their way with it. Speedo has a lot of pull with USA Swimming. The head coach of USA Swimming, Mark Schubert, is actually on salary with Speedo. So if that's not a conflict of interest, I don't know what is. But so that part, it's kind of hard to draw the line, too. Like, what's fair? Like, what are we going to say? Is the suit for everyone to wear? That's kind of tough to decide. Like, you can have down to your knees. You can have whatever. They do try to say that it's going to be even because everyone's going to have access to the Speedo suit or to whatever suit is deemed the best, but Speedo has failed to be able to make enough of those suits for the last 3 or 4 Olympics. So,
given the success of those suits and the fact that you know, that the American 4x100 team lost to the French by a fingernail, couldn't you say that
beat the French?
Beat the French by a fingernail, right? Couldn't you say that Phelps owes one of his gold medals to literally just wearing a different swimsuit?
I mean, you can say that about a lot of things, Ben.
But a lot of other things aren't being as highly watched and touted as this one thing.
Yeah, I mean,
if I can interrupt, excuse me. Like I said, yeah. He did not have the full body suit on. He had the the shorts part on. He was shirtless, and the swimmer, the French swimmer, had the full bodysuit on. So in a sense, it would seem to me that the Frenchman Bernard had an S, quote-unquote, the better suit, and Phelps swam. Whoa, that's where we saw him flexing.
Whoa, I'm not talking. Some of the U.S. swimmers had those suits on.
Yeah.
And they weren't available. He was one of four people swimming in the race. So if some of his teammates were using the suit, then he benefited from it.
But so was the French guy. He had a suit on also.
They had the same suit. They had the LZR suit on, the French. I thought it wasn't available to
them. Not all of the U.S. guys had it either. Matt Grievers is actually a tier athlete, so he wears all tier apparel.
Oh, I see.
I've kind of noticed that there's a lot of diversity in the suits. Speedo obviously being the most popular, they always are. But a lot of the Europeans have like off-name brands, like quote-unquote off-name brand. But I saw a lot of it at U.S. trials as well, of companies like Blue 70 and Diana, and like all kinds of, like, Arena is coming back again. There's a lot more competition suit diversity out there. Obviously, a lot of people want Speedo because that's the one that has all the most claims and has access to the entire U.S. national team. It makes a difference, yeah, but how much of a difference, you'll never really know. So,
another question, and it was a front page article in yesterday's New York Times about the absurd number of world records being set, in part because of the suits, in part because the pool is 3 meters deep, and most of them are 2 meters deep in other competitions, so that has something to do with the wave motion or something. And we're seeing people finishing fifth place who set what would have been a world record. Are there too many records being set to the point to where they almost lose their meaning?
I don't think they lose their meaning. The amount of records that are getting broken is just like you said, it's kind of a combination of a lot of things. But I think that this type of a meet has been brewing for the last 3 years in all of the international competitions. There's been world records getting broken, and then the meet that everyone that is any type of good focuses on is obviously U.S. Olympic trials and the Olympics, and it's blowing me away. I mean, my fastest times, I was a decent swimmer, and my fastest times are like girls are getting close to beating me. I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I've only been out of the sport for 3 years. So the last 3 years, the sport as a whole had gotten so much more competitive, and there's just a lot more people, I think, that are willing to invest and sacrifice every other part of their life to make this the most important thing to kind of do this. And then along with technology in suits and technology in training of how people are training their bodies. And if you look at Yara Torres, she can't swim as much, but there's a lot of other ways to train your bodies to be able to get through the water faster.
Who personally is your, I guess, of the elite swimmers, is there one that's your favorite to watch, either male or female, for whatever reason?
I'm really excited to watch Eric Chanteau swim. I was a big fan of him before he ever made the team. He's kind of one of those guys that's been waiting to break onto the scene for a long time and just has never really converted on all of the like talent that he has in him. So I'm excited to see him swim. But besides that, it's fun watching Phelps swim. I'm not going to lie. It boggles my mind as a swimmer to be able to see someone do the things that he's doing. I love watching Natalie Coughlin swim because I just think that she's a great human being. She's one of the nicest people ever, and she used to come to a meet that we had in Oklahoma City all the time with her team back in high school. She's just a great ambassador of the sport, so I love watching her swim too.
And Chanteau, for those who don't know, is he has testicular cancer and agreed to put off whatever treatments until after the Olympics. So he has sort of a feel-good story in addition to everything else.
Exactly.
Well, Sean, I only have one more question. This is something that I've noticed, that sometimes a swimmer like Phelps will wear a full body suit, and sometimes they'll only wear the legs. Why do they change? What's the reasoning there?
It all depends on the event that's coming up. Normally, you'll see most of the big guys that are doing sprint events wear full body or neck to ankle. Most guys don't wear the sleeves. They do have sleeves. I think the only person I saw wearing one was Grant Hackett in the 400 free. Didn't look like that worked out too well for him either. It's all about being able to still move in the exact positions that you've trained your body to get into. That's why the sleeves aren't very popular. The more fabric that you have on, the better for the most part. That's why the sprinters all go for having stuff on their chest, because they can deal with the uncomfortability, I guess, of having that for only a short amount of time. But a lot of guys don't want to deal with that for a 1500, for instance, where you're going to have that, and it may restrict your breathing and compress your chest in. So you don't really want to deal with that for a mile. And then the thing with legs, either going to the knee or the ankle, to the ankle, it also causes some lack of flexibility. Breaststrokers, you'll almost never see them wearing ankle suits. It also can, when you bend your knees in an ankle suit, it pulls the crotch of the suit down, so then you can't spread your legs enough to do the breaststroke kick. And then everything else, like, then there's just personal preference. I personally never wore a suit that covered my chest because I couldn't stand it, and having something that close and binding around your neck isn't very comfortable. So I always opted for, like, waist-to-ankle suits.
So depending on the race, an individual swimmer may choose to go with one for one race and another for another race.
Exactly. And then, if you get to the level that most of these people are at, like Michael Phelps, he probably will go through a good dozen suits, which the cost of those retail value is probably ridiculous.
Ridiculous like what?
I would say, well, each one probably costs around between like $200 and $400. Hmm. But for his are like specially made for him to fit his body better, because he is one of the elite athletes. So Speedo does like a body scan to get it fitted better. So his are probably much more expensive than just regular retail suits that you'll yank off a rack. At least that's what they used to do with the Fastskin and the Fastskin 2s and then the Fastskin Pros or whatever.
Yeah, I have one more final question. We saw Phelps describe his diet on his NBC the other day, where he takes in upwards of 10,000 calories a day.
Yeah.
What was your caloric intake on a daily basis when you were competing?
I don't know if it was that much. I don't really know if I believe that diet either. And if that is the truth, I think Bob Bowman should smack him around a little bit. There's a big difference between 10,000 calories and 10,000 calories of fried. I think the breakfast was always my biggest meal. I would go to morning practice and then come home and make myself a dozen pancakes. They were usually chocolate chip pancakes, because...
That's what he ate.
I know.
And he said three fried egg sandwiches. I mean, his diet, once he stops swimming, if he eats that way, he's going to be dead of a heart attack by the time he's 40.
I know. I think that he'll probably, as he gets older too, he'll probably have to modify his diet a bit, because even when you're swimming 5 hours a day and doing your dry land and cardio and weights, there's still good calories and bad calories, and that's not the way to fuel your body, I don't think. And then this is me, like, telling the best athlete ever in my sport how to eat, too. So what the hell do I know?
Well, Sean, you've made me hungry, and the Olympics will be coming on, so we'll end it right there. We want to thank you so much for being our guest on Out Sports today.
All right, great. Thanks a lot for having me.
And Sean will also be blogging occasionally during the Olympics, so check out our Olympic blog for Sean and everyone else's insights on the Games of Beijing. That's all we have time for today. I'm Jim Buzinski in Los Angeles with Sid Ziegler in New York. Enjoy the Games.